Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, The Appearance of Sri Narada, Text 4. Tasya Putro Maha Yogi Samam Drin Nirvikalpaka Ekanta Matir Unidro Gudho Muda Iveyate Tasya Putro Mahayogi Samadran Nirvikalpaka Ekanta Matir Unidro Gudo Mudha Iveyate Tasya Putro Mahayogi Samadran Nirvikalpaka Ekanta Matir Unidro Gudo Mudha Iveyate Tasya Putro Mahayogi Samadrin Nirvikalpaka Ekanta Matir Unidro Gudo Muda Eveyate Tasya Putro Mahayogi Samadrin Nirvikalpaka Tamatir Nidro Alayate Tasya Putra Mahayogi Madrin Nirvikalpaka Anta Matira Nidra Amarayate Aputra Mahayogi Amikalpika Tira Nidra Amarayate Samputra Mahayogi Nirvikalpaka 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 Tatra Putra Mahayogi Amagrivapka Yanavanyamanidro Yanavanyate Vaishnavis Mahayogi Sarvajin Nirvikalpika Yadavati Mujudro Yagoya Ileyate Tatra Putra Mahayogi Samajin Nirvikalpika Ekanta Matir Nidro Samudra Vayate Kama Yogi. Vajranya Vikalpika. Kanta Matiru Nidro. Tasya. His. Putraha. Son. Mahayogi. A great devotee. Samadrik. Equibalanced. Nirvikalpakaha. Absolute monist. Ekanta Matihi. Fixed in monism. Or oneness of mind. Unidraha. Surpassed nescience. Gudaha. Not exposed. Mudaha. Stunted. Eva. Like. Iyate. Appears like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. His, Vyasadeva's son, was a great devotee, an equibalanced monist whose mind was always concentrated in monism. He was transcendental to mundane activities, but being unexposed, he appeared like an ignorant person. Purport. Srila Shukadev Goswami was a liberated soul, and thus he remained always alert not to be trapped by the illusory energy. In the Bhagavad Gita, this alertness is very lucidly explained. The liberated soul and the conditioned soul have different engagements. The liberated soul is always engaged in the progressive path of spiritual attainment, which is something like a dream for the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul cannot imagine the actual engagements of the liberated soul. While the conditioned soul thus dreams about spiritual engagements, the liberated soul is awake. Similarly, the engagement of the conditioned soul appears to be a dream for the liberated soul. The conditioned soul and the liberated soul may apparently be on the same platform, but factually they are differently engaged and their attention is always alert, either in sense enjoyment or in self-realization, respectively. The conditioned soul is always absorbed in matter, whereas the liberated soul is completely indifferent to matter. This indifference is explained as follows. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudeve Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse again, he, Vyasadeva's son, was a great devotee, an equibalanced monist whose mind was always concentrated in monism. He was transcendental to mundane activities, but being unexposed, he appeared like an ignorant person. So it seems a little bit contradictory that Shukadeva Goswami is being referred to as a monist, because generally in terms of Vedic philosophy, monism is identified with impersonalism. You know, the idea that everything is just one. And, you know, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Madhusudana, in 1968, wrote to Prabhupada about this, you know, saying that he had heard that Shukadeva Goswami was a monist, which was quite surprising, because we've been reading again and again that we're supposed to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam not from the impersonalist or the monist, but from the devotees who are pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and recognize that duality, that there is the served and the servant. So Srila Prabhupada explained in his letter to Madhusudana that, yes, originally Shukadeva Goswami was an impersonalist, but within the womb of his mother, he heard, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, Vyasadeva, and became attracted to the personality of Godhead and became a devotee. And Srila Prabhupada also explains that same thing in one of his purports in Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, yes, Shukadeva Goswami was originally an impersonalist or a monist. And he admits that, Srila Prabhupada says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 9. And in that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, Parinishtatopi Nirgunya. So nirgunya means nirguna, the absolute truth understood without qualities or varieties. In other words, oneness. It's the opposite of saguna, Brahman. Brahman with qualities, personality, pastimes, form, name, etc. So in that verse, he said, Parinishtatopi Nirgunya, although I was originally situated in this monistic platform of realization of the absolute truth, I became attracted to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became a devotee. So, yeah, there's a famous verse from the Bhagavatam. It's called the Atma Rama verse that more or less states what happens. Atma Ramas Chamunayo Nigrantya Apyarukame Kravantya Hoitakim Bhaktim Itam Bhuta Guno Hare. You know, the Atma Ramas, those who are situated in the self on this monistic platform, they can become, although they're free from the attraction to matter, they can become attracted to the accounts of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then they become engaged in causeless devotional service, kirvantya hoitikim bhaktim. So that was the situation of Shukadeva Goswami. So in one of his purports in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gives some information about the birth of Shukadeva Goswami, and he says it comes from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. In that Purana, it's described how one of the wives of Vyasadeva was the daughter of the sage Jabali. In other Puranas, like the Skanda Purana, her name is given as Vatika. So he Vyasadeva and the daughter of Jabali, Vatika, performed austerities, and he impregnated her. He placed his seed in her womb, and that was the child Shukadeva. And within the womb, he was very satisfied with the conditions because it was very helpful for remaining in the state of Brahman realization, Srila Prabhupada explained. So he remained within the womb of his mother for 12 years. Sometimes it said 16 years. Srila Prabhupada gives it a different number of years in different places. But for a long time, for many, many years, he remained within the womb of his mother and he refused to come out. So Vyasadeva tried to convince him. Somehow or other, he was able to communicate with the child within the womb saying, "What's the problem?" And the child said, "Well, if I come out, I'm going to be exposed to Maya in all her different forms, and I may get entangled." And Vyasadeva said, no, you won't become entangled like that. But Sukadeva refused to believe his father. He said, "After all, you're just a householder. You're pretty entangled yourself. So how can I trust you?" So Vyasadeva went to Dwarka and met with Lord Krishna, who was there, and he explained the situation. So Krishna went to the cottage of Vyasadeva and himself convinced the child that if he came out, he wouldn't be exposed, he wouldn't become entangled in Maya. So Shukadeva accepted it from him, and he came out at the age of 16 and immediately ran away. So that's the story of the appearance of Shukadeva Goswami as given by Srila Prabhupada in that purport in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, based on information coming from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. So in this verse, the dreaming state of the conditioned soul is being mentioned. And in one sense, it's like a dream within a dream. There's one purport where Srila Prabhupada states that the material world, the material universe, is the dream of Mahavishnu. It says the original waking condition of the soul is to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world. But if the soul is not qualified for that, Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavanshakari Nikatashta Mayatari Japati Adari, if the soul turns away from Krishna with the idea of becoming an independent enjoyer apart from rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord, such souls are placed in what Srila Prabhupada calls the dreamland of material existence. So that's where we find ourselves now, the dreamland. So Srila Prabhupada explains that material existence is the dream of Mahavishnu, and he bases that on Brahma Samhita, verse 47, where it says, "Ya karna arnava jale bhajati sma yoga nidram." The Mahavishnu is lying on the causal ocean in the state of yoga nidra, which in the Brahma Samhita, in the synonyms, is translated as creative sleep. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada translates it as mystic slumber. And in that state of mystic slumber or creative sleep in which the Mahavishnu, in which Mahavishnu is dreaming, millions of universes come out of his body. And by his glance, he injects the conditioned souls into those universes. And in those universes, they are provided with material bodies, which are different from their swarupas, their original spiritual bodies. So in those material bodies with which they falsely identify, just like the bodies that we identify with in dreams, they try to experience happiness and pleasure in the dreamland of material existence. But Krishna also sends into that dreamland of material existence waking souls, pure devotees who are not identifying with their temporary material bodies and aren't chasing after the phantasmagoria of material existence. They're awakened souls, and their only purpose is to try to wake up the other sleeping conditioned souls in this material world and bring them back to their original waking state. So those two kinds of souls are there, the conditioned souls and the liberated souls, and those in an intermediate state like ourselves. So they're there, and Srila Prabhupada is explaining they don't understand, the conditioned souls, they really don't understand the activities of the liberated souls, because the conditioned souls are only interested in the temporary material body, which is like a dream body, and they're chasing after false things continually, and they have no conception of what the liberated souls or those who are striving for liberation are thinking and doing, what their mentality really is. And yeah, we can understand that, you know, just by considering some examples from our own experience. I mean, once before I was a devotee, I did many things. One of the things I did was I ran a pool hall, a billiards lounge in a little town in Saratoga County, New York State. And if you run a pool hall or a billiards lounge, one thing you become familiar with is pool sharks, people who are very expert at the game and very expert at gambling. But you see, when they come in, they don't advertise themselves. You know, they don't wear flashy clothes and bring in their diamond-studded pool cue and put on some flashy display of how actually good they are. They come in with work boots on, old pants, old shirt, appearing quite dumb, just looking for a game. And, you know, the people around have no idea what their real mentality is. You know, they're thinking, oh, it's just another another ordinary person like me here in the pool hall. Maybe I can make a few bucks from him. But they have no idea what he really is, or like the Secret Service, you know, when the president or some high official goes out among the public, you know, they've got Secret Service agents around circulating in the crowd. And they look like ordinary people. They're behaving in an ordinary way. But their mentality is completely different from that of the ordinary person. They have some higher duty that they're carrying out, which the ordinary person may have no idea of. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining that in this purport. You know, the conditioned soul looks at a devotee, has no idea what the devotee is all about. They just see some external features. They don't know what the internal meditation of the devotee is. What is the purpose of his activities? Before Srila Prabhupada came to the United States, he was alone in Delhi, and he was preparing to come to the United States by writing and editing and printing his Srimad Bhagavatams. So he would go about, you know, he would be buying paper at the paper shops. He would be negotiating with printers about the printing. He would be looking at the printer proofs. He would be overseeing the binding of his Srimad Bhagavatam volumes. And in, I think it's the introduction or the preface that he wrote to one of the volumes of the Bhagavatam that he published in New Delhi, he was saying, you know, somebody will just see me going around doing all this, you know, just like an ordinary business person, you know, according to their view of things, but they don't understand what my real purpose is. That, you know, the pure devotee is simply meditating upon how to carry out the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this material world, which is to deliver the fallen conditioned souls from the illusory state of existence into which they've fallen, and as a result of which they're suffering in so many ways. So even the conditioned soul may hear about, it's spiritual, but they think their concept of spiritual life is, as Srila Prabhupada says here, which is, you know, it says the liberated soul is always engaged in the progressive path of spiritual attainment, which is something like a dream for the conditioned soul. In other words, the conditioned soul can't even really imagine because there's no realization. So in our practice of Krishna consciousness, we develop some realization of these higher things, you know, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. We begin to experience that it actually is non-different from the personality of Godhead. We experience a kind of pleasure and satisfaction that we didn't get from other kinds of sound vibrations to which we were attracted in our material lives. Or we experience from prasadam a taste that we never got from all the thousands of tastes that we experienced in our material life. So there's something there that's realized. It's not a dream. It's a factual reality. And that's why we remain in Krishna consciousness, because we've experienced something of that reality. But, you know, to the outsiders, they can't imagine what that reality is. Actually, the only way they can really experience it is by taking up the process themselves and actually experiencing it. And you get a higher vision. You know, Srila Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, was stating that, it was a purport, where he was stating that Krishna appears reflected in the heart of the pure devotee by means of, Srila Prabhupada's exact phrase, spiritual television. In other words, the devotee can be in this world, but within the heart, receiving Krishna's image, Krishna's form will appear within his heart, you know, directly from Goloka Vrindavan by this, quote, spiritual television. So although the devotee, in one sense, is in this material world and is noticing, of course, what's happening in the material world, simultaneously, the pure devotee is experiencing Krishna's presence by this spiritual television. You know, in modern digital technology, there's something now called augmented reality. You know, they've got something called virtual reality, where you just go into a totally different, you have your virtual reality viewer and you just go into a complete computer-generated reality. That's called virtual reality. But then there's augmented reality, where you're still seeing the normal world, but projected onto it are also this digital imagery, which can really be quite amazing, so that you're seeing both things at the same time. The material world as you normally experience it, plus the imagery that's superimposed upon it in a kind of three-dimensional holographic way. So this spiritual television that, you know, Srila Prabhupada talks about is something like that, augmented reality, so that, you know, the pure devotee can be functioning in the material world, but also experiencing transcendental, by transcendental vision, the personality of Godhead, pastimes of the personality of Godhead, etc. Srila Prabhupada once said, it's like you've got a television in your heart, but now it's broken. Not really broken, you just don't know how to operate it. So I said, well, what do you do, you know, if you've got something like you've got your mobile phone, it doesn't work, you know, you can't get it to work, you know, you can't get your television or your computer to work. You call in an expert, somebody who knows how to get it working again. So as spirit souls, we all have the capability of obtaining that vision of the personality of Godhead, that vision of our pastimes with that supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. That capability is there. We just need some expert help to repair the connection. It's like, sometimes it's very frustrating. You know, you've got your phone, you lose your connection, you're on the computer, you lose your connection, you want to get it back. And you'll do anything to do that. So we need to have that eagerness to restore that lost connection with Krishna. And it's there, like Srila Prabhupada said, like the television waves, they're in the air. You just need the properly tuned receiver to get it. And that's what Shukadeva Goswami is trying to deliver to the fallen souls of the Kali Yuga. Restore that lost connection to Krishna and Krishna's eternal pastimes. I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Bhagavati, Prabhu.
Thank you, Judah Kronpru, for an amazing, absolutely amazing class. I have two questions, one small technical question and one kind of philosophical question. The small technical question is, we heard a few days ago that Sukadeva Goswami was one of, like a parrot in Goloka Vrindavan, I think Radharani and Krishna's parrots. So how did he wind up as a monist?
There are lots of different complexities. Actually, it's stated by Jiva Goswami and the Gopala Champu that in his original position in Goloka Vrindavan, he's Radharani's parrot. Yeah, that's from Jiva Goswami's Gopala Champu. So we often find that devotees have lots of different positions that they take in terms of either their constitutional original positions in the spiritual world and the different positions they may take as they engage in the Lord's service in the material world for different purposes. Like in that same letter to Madhusudana, where Srila Prabhupada was talking about Shukadeva Goswami, he also mentioned Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because Madhusudana Prabhu had heard, at one point, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also an impersonalist. And Srila Prabhupada explained, yes, at a certain point in his life, he was associating with the impersonalist, just like he said that was for the sake of pastimes, just like Arjuna was behaving for some time as if he were an attached conditioned soul, you know, just to set up the pastime of inquiring from Krishna about the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. So he said, then at a certain point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur displayed his real color, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, as, you know, pure, exalted devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So can take different positions.
Okay.
Just one more, and then we'll
so,
wind
Prabhu,
up.
We know that there are three aspects of the Absolute Truth: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So, which aspect of the Absolute Truth can this monist realize?
There's Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So, monism generally means Brahman realization. And then there's Paramatma realization. And then finally, But all of them, Srila Prabhupada says somewhere, are tinged with some kind of devotion and bhakti. They have to be in order for them to work. But there are two kinds of monism. One is offensive and the other is not offensive. You know, because like the four Kumaras, they were originally manifesting some monistic tendency. But then when they went to Vaikuntha and they smelled the tulsi coming from the lotus feet of the Lord, they were attracted into devotional service because they weren't offenders. The Mayavadis kinds of impersonalists are generally offenders, yeah, because they're trying to deny the personality of Godhead. So those who are Brahman realized but not so offensive, yeah, they can become easily attracted to the personality of Godhead when they come in contact with narrations about his form, pastimes. But Krishna is so merciful that sometimes he gives even the demoniac kinds of impersonalists the opportunity to serve him. So it can be complicated. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.
Thank you.